You know, I just wanted to kind of touch on what they said just a little bit. They're talking about culture and they're talking about writing it down. And I hope, I pray that you guys are truly taking some notes and writing some things down because it is so good. And, you know, I would encourage you, if you're like, oh, how do I even start with culture? Start with what they said, you know, and start with something and then make it your own as you kind of grow in this. You know, I was thinking even about me and Corey, and we were discussing this a little bit with Joel and Sarah just now, which is we have implemented some things into our family, but it hasn't been like this is exactly who we are. This is exactly what we're doing. It's I wouldn't say accidental, but it hasn't been defined well. And so I'm super encouraged. You know, next year, our oldest daughter is going to be a senior. And man, if you guys have ever had seniors, you're like, what else do I need to get in before they're done, before they're out of the house? And we're thinking that. But this is one of those things where I'm like, we need to write down this culture so that we can put it into our daughters, especially our oldest, before she goes, so that she knows exactly who we are, exactly what we've done, exactly what our intentionality is, so that she's better equipped when she goes out and she starts her family and she can go, this is something that my family did. So my encouragement is, it's not too late. Like they said, it's not too late to go, this is who we are, and start talking about it. I love that too. You have to talk about it, and you have to talk about it frequently, so that it just becomes, you know, your training, you know, that's what you're going to default to. So,
and in reality, probably you've already done these things without defining it as your family culture or your family core values. There have already been things you've instilled. So you just got to recognize it and maybe articulate it in a clearer way so your kids can really grasp it. You know, some of the things we've always said to our kids is Tobins don't lie. We don't lie. We tell the truth all the time. And that's a value for sure, but we've never articulated it as that. So like just having the idea of we can actually put some very repeatable things in writing that our kids can really grasp. And like you said, it's not too late.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. Amen.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So last session before we do a little Q&A, and we just wanted to take a minute to really give everyone in the room permission to have some fun in your marriage. And we get so wound tight on all the things we need to do and all the things we're trying to accomplish that we forget that there's supposed to be fun in what we do as a family and in serving the Lord. And God is a God of fun. He talks about joy a lot in the scripture. And the Bible says that God laughs. And there's a ton of things in there that I truly believe in just reading scripture and just seeing the men and women of faith that God said were people after his own heart. We can see moments in their lives where they really did enjoy life and enjoy what they were doing and enjoy where God had them. And even though they had difficult seasons and good seasons, they found ways to find the fun and the joy in it. And there's just something to be said about living life for God and serving him and pursuing him and a relationship with your spouse that God really wants the joy to be center. And really, it really can be fun, even if there's seasons of hard. And so we just want to encourage you a little bit about, understanding we serve a fun God. He really is. And he wants us to enjoy this life. I mean, if he didn't, he wouldn't make this planet so cool. I mean, there's just so much stuff to do and see and experience and enjoy. And honestly, from going through COVID, and I don't know, I gotta stand up a little bit. Good night, I can't do it. From going through COVID, and I know some of that was super hard for some of y'all, but for our family, it was really eye-opening and experiential because, especially in our neck of the woods here in the Northwest, people got outside like never before. And, you know, when Washington was as shut down as it was, we lived in Idaho for like, it felt like for 6 months, we were driving over to Idaho, experiencing the freedom and the lack of COVID over there. And because clearly it dies at the border, right? But man, we just found a way to just enjoy more of each other and more of life and just be outside. And what I wanted to encourage you with and kind of put in front of you was after this conference, like there's a bunch of stuff we need to talk about with culture. And there, fellas, there's stuff you want to recognize that God's put on your heart to be the redeemer of your family and your spouse and to lead well, all these things. But also, go back and talk about what it was like when you were dating. What were the things that you guys did that you look forward to when you were dating? And I know that's varied across the board, and you all have different experiences. But the whole idea of the lead up to the wedding and, you know, starting life together and, you know, all the fun that you had, you know, in the dating experience before you figured out that you did want to spend the rest of your life together. And, you know, some of y'all, that might've been super short. I don't know if you had a shotgun wedding. I don't know any of that stuff, but there was fun that happened, and there was fun that happened in the early years. And it's worth re-exploring what it was that you were willing to sacrifice and lay down and plan for and think about when you were dating and getting out there and having fun and enjoying each other. And so, we just want to give you permission to kind of go back into that, because you get in life and you get stuck and you forget that we're supposed to be enjoying the journey while we are heading to our goals and heading to where, you know, our family plans and all those things. But it's the fun part is while you're getting there. And if we forget that, then the mark is always farther than you can reach. It's just a little bit farther down the road, and then we'll have enough time, or then we'll have enough money, or then we'll have enough. And it's like, enjoy it and find ways to enjoy it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, Philippians 4:16, we know this verse, we quote this verse, be anxious for nothing. And I just want to address real quick kind of fun killers in your marriage, fun killers. Busy, anxious, worried are fun killers. And I'm telling you, there's a reason why he says be anxious for nothing. It's not just about him asking us to trust him, which he is. But he understands what worry and anxiety and depression and busy does in our bodies, in our souls. God built us and understands us very well. And when he says be anxious for nothing, he really means it. And so if we want to kill the fun killers, we have to take this verse seriously. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Be thankful, be grateful. Then let your requests be made known to God. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So simple, but so profound. And if we're really going to lean into some fun in our marriage, we're going to have to take that verse extremely seriously. Yes?
Yes.
Amen. So a couple of things that come up that fall into this category of being able to push us maybe into a place we don't want to be, into anxiousness or worried or busy. But one of them is like limited finances can keep us from really enjoying each other. Why? Because we work all day, we come home, what's on our mind? We don't have enough to pay the bills or this, that, or other. And it's like God is shouting Philippians 4:6 to us. Yeah. Be anxious for nothing. That doesn't mean we don't do anything about it, but we're not anxious about it, because we stay in that state when finances are tight and we forget that there are free and or very cheap things to do to enjoy each other. I mean, I don't know about you, but when we were dating, we did not have any money.
No.
We were paying bills. That was it.
Yeah.
And but we found ways. We enjoyed each other. We found ways to do the free things and to get outside and to do the stuff that we enjoyed together.
Yeah.
And so don't let money in a season that you're in be a hindrance. And truly, and many of you can attest to this, and Joel and Sarah even touched on it briefly, but like, if you want to get to a place where money's not the issue anymore, then the be anxious part is very important, and trusting God. And I'm telling you, when you do that and you start to sow properly, the finances will come. They absolutely will come. Yeah. But it doesn't come from fret and worry and anxiety. You just miss out on all the joy of the journey while you're worrying about that.
Yeah.
So be careful there.
Yeah. I mean, again, take out your notes, write down some ideas. Cause I know, like, for me and Corey, there's been times where it's like, okay, we should do something. I'm like, what do you want to do? Nobody knows, right? So we're going to give you some ideas of things along the way. Make a list and work your way through a list. I'm such a list person. I'm like, okay, we're just going to do all the things. But, you know, finding things that are cheap or free, this is very possible. We used to go on drives, but that's not really cheap anymore. So use your legs, walk. But, you know, maybe you say, hey, I don't have a babysitter. You know, you can go and sit in your driveway, go sit on your back porch. And I would encourage you too, especially when you are in the younger stages where you do need to have regular time together, where it's just the two of you, train your kids to leave you alone. I mean, seriously, you should be able to go sit on your back porch for a half an hour and your children not interrupt you.
Go run naked in the backyard, right? Watch out for snakes.
But you know, it's totally worth that training, and don't give up if your kid doesn't get it right away, your kids don't get it right away, but train your children that sometimes we get to have time by ourselves that you're not going to interrupt. That is an okay thing to do.
One thing that worked with our oldest that didn't work with any of the other kids was she could not come out of her room until 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, and something like 8 in the morning. Well, we were homeschooling, so it was fine. Right. But she was little, and she learned to read the clock. And we gave her, I think we had like a little bowl of Cheerios in there in case there was an emergency and whatever. But she learned to read the clock.
Her blood sugar got too low. So, no.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Sustenance, help. Yeah, eat your Cheerios. Okay. But she learned how to read the clock, and she wouldn't come out. I mean, 8 on the dot. I'm not even kidding. Door opens. Yeah. She's like, she's out.
Yeah.
But like, that wasn't as effective with the rest of the kids.
So, no, it wasn't.
But there's windows. You find what works. You find what works for you to get your space, to get your time, to get those windows.
So don't say we don't have enough money for time together. You absolutely do.
You absolutely do. You can do it. You'd just find a way. The other trap is when you're both working. And I know that happens a lot in this society. And Cody and I both worked when we were first married. And, you know, this was Dink's era, right? Yeah. Double income, no kids. And what happened was we used work as an excuse to really not explore where we live. We lived in Florida for a while where she grew up. And it was a great season of our lives. There's tons of stuff to do in Florida, just tons of stuff. And we allowed the burnout or the fried of the week to not let us explore and really just enjoy each other, enjoy outside. And we look back on that with a little bit of regret, wishing use the double income we had to like take some trips and do more stuff. But it created this kind of vacuum of us on the weekends where we did not like each other.
No.
And
no.
We were just...
We did great during the week when we only had a couple hours a day together.
Yeah.
But the weekends were awful. They were terrible. But we weren't doing anything. Yeah. We were literally just sitting in our house. And, you know, I think that it sounds kind of silly, but man, don't get in the rut of going, it's the weekend, I'm just going to stay home. Get outside, do something, make a plan to be together and do something together, and you'll like each other a whole lot better. There's something about really being shoulder to shoulder where some vulnerability, some conversation, things can happen when you're doing stuff together. It's important.
And I'll just speak into the double income again. This is something that you have to talk obviously about with your spouse and work this out, but be careful with like the opposite shift work. And I know that's a subject, but just be careful with it because it's a slippery slope into being disconnected. And so if you have that schedule, which I know can be super hard, work really hard at connecting together. Yeah. If that's the option and you know that where you're supposed to be, work super hard at connecting together when you have the time. And if you know that's a window or a season, man, try to shift it where you're working, at least working the same schedule. So you get more time together, but that's not easy for everybody. And I understand shift work, but just be thinking about it because our marriages are important and and our kids are important and all these things. So, just be thinking about that. Another one, new baby, having new kids, Lord Jesus. Do we know this to be true? Well, I'll say that part later. Kids are a lot. They're a lot, especially early on. Make good friends. Have people you trust. Your child will survive without you for a few hours.
Yes. Amen.
Absolutely. And you have no idea how much a 3-hour break or a 4-hour break. I know Cody pumped. We supplemented with formula. I mean, there were windows and gaps we made to make sure that we could get some time away, get your head clear the cobwebs out. You know, she loves to ride the back of the motorcycle. So, I mean, for her and for both of us, it's a really great – that actually helps with the gas part too because those are way more fuel efficient. But just to be able to get away for just a minute to just catch your breath, it's amazing what it'll do for your soul. But if you don't plan for it and do it, it doesn't happen. And we've been there. And those are tough seasons in our marriage when we didn't make intentional plans to break away, do things that we needed to do to really connect again, get some fresh air. I mean, y'all, we live in one of the best places in the country for just being outside. And, you know, sun or winter, it really is a beautiful place. And so don't let these things hinder you from continuing to connect with each other, because it's a big deal.
Yeah. And I would say kind of a side note that goes along with a lot of these, but especially when you have kids, is if you would say, well, we don't have anyone we could leave our kids with, you need to make friends. I mean, in relationships, I think in the world that we live in, isolation has become very, very easy. And you guys we have got to be intentional with people. We have got to invite people over. We have got to build relationship, because you need someone to walk life with. Mm-hmm. You need someone that you can trust your kids with. And they are out there. They're in this room. They're in the church. They're your neighbors. So you have got to spend the time, because it's going to be good for your relationship to have another couple to walk alongside with. But it's also going to be good so that you can help live life with each other. That means you're watching kids and they're watching kids, and you're doing it together. Don't do this alone. There are people out there. Find your people. Yep. That's what I had to say about that.
Another one is the pressure of career. And I personally know this to be true in the construction days, because when I was starting a company, it was thin, and you're scrambling for jobs and trying to make ends meet and pay the bills. And at that time in our marriage, we were living in the basement of my parents' house, which we were desperately trying to get out of. And the pressure of that can really keep you from unplugging and not have boundaries and always dealing with this, that, and the other. And you know, like Joel and Sarah said, your career is important in your life, but it's not the most important. It's way down the list. And you can look at me in the eyes. You can be successful and way over the top successful, putting God first.
Yeah.
And people will be like, how do you do that when you're not working 100 hours a week? Why? Because I'm serving God.
Yeah.
And he's making stuff work for me because he's first, that would take other people hundreds of thousands of dollars in marketing to get those same leads in the door. But because I'm serving God and putting him first in my daily life and with my family and with my kids, with what I'm called to do, he's making everything else work.
Yeah.
And so we can come back to Philippians 4 and like, I'm not anxious about that. He's in charge. I'm serving him. He's paying the bills. He's causing the increase. And when we start getting those things shifted, we start finding that we're working harder on the stuff that's supposed to be farther down the line, because we don't have the priorities right. And so don't let career and the obligations of that and the business and all that stuff eat up the time you're supposed to be spending on the priorities of God first and family.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, taking time to unplug, like literally unplug all the things, right? There's a not being on your phone. There's handy settings on here that says do not disturb. You know, you
can mode.
You can let the emergency contacts come through and block out everybody else. Put the phones away. Put it away. I say this a lot. Be bored with each other, because when you get bored, conversation. I mean, honestly, when I say bored, I mean just be quiet. If there's nothing, the tendency is like, oh well, we're not talking, so I'll just check this real quick, right?
Three hours later.
And then you're in a deep dive. Like, be quiet. And eventually, hey, maybe a thought comes that you might say to your spouse or something comes up. So really be very intentional. Work can wait. Things can wait. Have that Sabbath that they were talking about at some way, shape, or form. And make the time to, you know, really connect without being distracted.
Another fun killer can be familiarity with each other, meaning, I know everything about her. What is she going to tell me I don't already know? Let's do something new and exciting. And the idea that you've got your wife all figured out just tells me how ignorant we really are. There's zero chance, because if you figured her out 10 years ago, she has changed 17 times since then. And if you're not keeping up, then you're not on pace. So the idea is that we're continuing to learn about each other and grow with each other and find out the new things that we like, that change and have adapted. And don't get too familiar. Make sure that you're still leaning into the nuances and the new things, because we are adapting. We are changing. We're supposed to grow and find things fun that maybe we didn't find fun before. And, you know, when we were dating, this will date us a little bit, but when we were dating, we had the Nokia cell phones, you know, that didn't have internet. Like, that cost way too much money and hardly worked anyway, right? So we truly did get to places where we were finding stuff to do. We were bored with each other. Like, what do you want to do? Let's go over and check this new store out or whatever. And it's like, you just find ways to ramble around to it with each other without really spending money, but you're together. You're joking about this, you know, weird glass elephant they think is going to sell for $19.95. Like, who's going to buy that? Are you kidding me? And you just, these conversations come up that you get to have fun with each other that would have never happened if you're scrolling, you know, cat videos and, you know, golf tutorials, right? Sorry, Darren. Okay. So it was a little close to home.
For me, I like questions, right? And I think that there's so many resources where you can just find good questions. You know, I got a book that I do with my kids, but also we'll do sometimes, which is, would you rather or whatever. So it gives two different things and you talk about it. There's boxes of questions that have to
talking point cards,
talking points. You can look up date night conversations to ask your spouse, whatever. There's so many things. If you're like, well, I don't even know what to say. There are so many resources that you guys can be intentional and go, hey, let's talk about these few questions. Let's ask this question, you know, tell me about something from your childhood. I don't know. They're more specific and better than that. This is why I use question cards and stuff like that. But talk, you know, have these conversations. So much comes out. And for women, and I think for men sometimes too, but I know for women stereotypically, when we're able to share our hearts, we're connecting intimately, which helps with other intimate connections. And so guys, come on, get a box of cards and ask some questions. You know, ladies, you can do that too.
True story.
Yeah.
Good. The last thing that I wrote down for fun killers is poor health or poor mobility. And I know that's a thing that is prevalent in the society, but there's a couple points with that. One is even if your health isn't an issue where you're not happy with it or your mobility. First of all, we believe in healing. So let's lean into that. Second of all, there's things we can do that we're learning more and more with you know, more of a free internet now where you can actually look some actually healthy stuff up and take care of your bodies. And so as spouses, come on, we are not our own anymore. I gave up my right for my own decision-making for my body to her when I married her and vice versa. And so we've got to take care of ourselves, and it's way easier to maintain health than it is to repair it. And again, we believe 100% in healing, but there's also places where the Lord tells us to be good stewards of what He's given us, and we need to steward our bodies well. So don't let that keep you from stepping into finding some fun right now, yeah. Right? And then work toward the mobility, the better ability to run without, you know, I mean, work toward, you can walk with the kids and have a conversation at the same time, whatever that takes, but work toward that, because we don't want these things to hinder us and then be an example to our kids that's okay. You know what I mean? And so we want to be good stewards, but these things can be fun killers, and we want to make sure we kill the fun killers.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, very naturally speaking, if we're tired all the time and we don't want to do anything afterwards,
it's hard.
I would highly recommend looking at your diet. You know, are you drinking enough water? We talk about water all the time in our house. I push water on people. But
she's a water pusher.
there is something about fueling your body so that you do have energy for the most important people in your life. You can have energy. You can feel good so that you do want to go on that quick little walk around the block.
Yeah.
After dinner or whatever, and have that time together. So really, yeah.
Work at it. Work hard on it. Work hard on regaining and keeping your health.
Yeah.
Okay. So we just want to give you a couple ideas of things to do like for fun and keeping the fun alive. So recreation is a big part of it. So think about when you first started dating. Everybody has a different story, again, how all that comes together. But there was something early on that was fun that you guys liked about each other, what you did, how you hung out, all those kind of things. And maybe it was early in marriage, whatever that is. Maybe in some cases, I don't know, you just ended up finding somebody online and you got married on the spot. I don't know how this works, but there is some fun. There's some fun to be had. And so one of the suggestions was recreating some of the dating. So recreating some of the trips or the meals. And, you know, maybe you live in a different spot, but I think it's a fun idea to say, you know, we remember this great date, right? We have this great date story we tell and other dates that we've had. And just what would it look like if you recreated that in some unique way? Not repeated it, but recreated it in some way. Those bring up good memories. when we got married, she knew this. I didn't know this. I don't know why I'm backing up.
Maybe I should back up too.
I just noticed. I'm getting farther away from her. I do this instinctively if we're in a little bit of a tiff because I got to get out of the reach of that left arm. She's got
to. Really?
Woo, yeah. Just kidding. Gosh. She knew this about scents and perfumes. Oh, yeah. So when we got married, she ordered us his and hers bottle of perfume, a good one, that we would that we'd wear when we got married mm-hmm. and on the honeymoon as yeah. a like. And so we haven't touched those bottles except for just a couple of times throughout the mm-hmm. marriage. But that scent recall,
yeah, your olfactory scent is the strongest memory receptor that you have.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that was kind of like a recreating. Yeah. So several times over the last 20 years, we've set up kind of this date scenario mm-hmm. and we wore the perfume, the cologne from yeah. those memories.
It was super fun.
And it was like, yeah. it just triggered kind of all this fun. So the idea of recreating a date is it's triggering memories and why you got together and why you enjoyed that trip and why the good times happened. And yeah. I think it's a good start to okay, kind of
so,
rekindling.
So I'm kind of thinking about when we were first dating and one date stands out that was not fun, that was not fun for me.
Uh-oh.
But I'm thinking we should probably recreate it because one of the things too is having a good attitude, right? Like I think sometimes when we're stepping out, we're tired, we're busy, blah, 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 you know, and it can be like, well, that wasn't fun at all, you know, but you know what? Keep trying. So I think about this date that we had, it was when we were in Oklahoma. He took me frisbee golfing, right?
And, I remember this date.
And I wear glasses. I wear contacts, but I wear glasses. And I don't know if anybody's like me. I know at least one person is, where you wear your contacts until your eyes are bloodshot and they burn and they sting and you have to take them out. It was one of those. No, there's several people in the room, actually. So it was one of those times. So he takes me frisbee golfing. My eyes were jacked. And so I was wearing my glasses. And so we're walking around this frisbee golf place. I'm tripping over things because I lose my peripheral. I don't know if anybody else experiences that, but I can't see the ground. And so I'm tripping over stumps and things. And I got so aggravated. And I'm like, this is awful. But I think it sounds kind of fun now. I feel like we should recreate that one. I don't think we've been frisbee golfing since. I'll make sure I have my contacts.
She's 100% wearing her contacts.
I won't trip over anything. Yeah. I probably was wearing flip-flops 100% too, which you probably gave flip-flops. Me a hard time yeah. about. But whatever. I think we should redo that one. Put it on the list.
So like specific dates, locations, meals, activities. Just find a way to recreate that. Find the fun. Find yeah. the fun again. It'll be worth it to you. It'll produce good memories. If you don't know what it is, sit down and have a date to plan a date. Like ask your spouse, I mean,
that's
what
a good
sounds
question.
Fun.
What, yeah. Like what were some of the fun things you remember doing way back when, you know, that, or, you know, last year, whatever. But those are fun conversations. What do you remember about me? What did you like, you know?
Yeah.
And then do those things.
Make a list for both of you. And guys, what she suggests might not be something you would necessarily pick, but refrain from, refrain from that. I've found that when I'm willing to do what she wants to do and go the places, that I end up finding the fun some way, shape, or form in it. I mean, and some of that is personality, but some of that is willingness to just, you know, it wouldn't have been something that I would have picked, but there are elements of fun or laughter or making fun of what you're doing that can be fun. And the idea is that we're figuring out what we're doing and we're enjoying each other. And maybe it's a bomb and you never do it again, but at least go with a good attitude because there's supposed to be fun in this.
Well, yeah. And marriage is supposed to be selfless too in a lot of ways. You know, we need to be equally going, okay, I'm going to go shopping. He's going to come shopping with me and I'm going to go looking
golfing.
At, I like golf. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to go look at airplanes with Corey, right? I mean, we're going to go drive by the airport. Where's the airport? We're going to go look at an airport. No, sorry. I think I just scoffed at that. Sorry. But you know, it's about both of us doing what the other wants to do, you know, and encouraging each other in those things that we like. You know, honestly, the thing that I think is fun about him coming to shop with me is that he's learning what I like. You know, I don't know that there's a lot of guys who like to shop with their spouses, but he gets to know me in a different way. He knows what colors I like. He knows what jewelry I like. He knows what, you know, kind of shoes or shirt or whatever. And I think that's important things, guys, for you to know about your wife. Your wife wants to be known by you. And that's a really kind of a cheat way. And dude, I'm sorry, another little tip. Make notes in your phone.
Bring your phone, but while you're shopping, don't. You're not there.
Right.
You're not there. Enjoy it. You know?
So take turns doing the things that the other likes.
Yeah. If you're struggling, even still, the two of you, like, I don't know what we like to do. Ask other people.
Oh, yeah.
Ask other couples. I'm telling you, there's creative people in this room you guys have some great stuff you guys do together, which is really cool. And it's inspiring for us to do things together. And then if you ask other people what they like to do together, you might end up in a situation where you get a double date.
Yes.
And those can be fun too, where you're connecting with other people, but you're kind of getting drawn in. I've found things that I like because other people drew me into them and I didn't think I'd like it. But because we were with them, they made it fun. I'm like, okay, I see why you like this.
Yeah. A statistic that's rolling around in my head when it has to do with getting to know people too. I just read a book and it said 121 hours is what it takes to fully have a really good friendship connection with someone. Maybe that's even a really good friend. So if you think about it, if you go and you spend 4 hours at dinner with someone, really you've eaten up a huge chunk of what that is, a big chunk. So you start doing that and spending time with people and you're going to get to know people better and better and better, which is going to build intimacy and connection and all the things that we need for good relationships and good marriages.
Yep. Super good. Another idea, guys and gals, surprise your spouse with something. And you might be married to someone that does not love surprises. So make sure it's good. We're going to garden today. No. Trash run, hop in, let's go to the dump. No, not good.
I feel like Corey's really good at thinking of things, but what he does is he goes, hey, I really wanted to do this thing for you, but it didn't work out. I'm like, why did you tell me? You should have like found a way to make it work out.
That's I don't tell her that stuff anymore. I just sock it away till I can do it. So I've ruined a couple things by just saying, yeah, that's a good idea. Way to blow it. Okay. Yeah. surprising your spouse, enjoying the time, the challenge of the idea, even if it bombs. You're still making an effort. Yeah. You're still making an effort.
And I would say, don't be impossible to please, you know, on both sides. Don't expect perfection, you know, because we are not married to perfection. We are not perfection. Don't be impossible to please. Find the joy, find the positive, find the good. Cause the intentionality, I mean, that's awesome to be intentional, even if it does bomb. That's my point.
Yeah. One thing we navigated early in marriage, was the kind of the expectation of like all these things, like 90% of it went well. And then the 10% ended up being the focal point of your spouse. Like, you know, it would have been perfect if it hadn't have been. It's like, just keep that to yourself, right? Yes. Let's take the 90% win. Yeah. And so you learn these things. You don't have to, in marriage, you don't have to say everything.
Right. Yeah.
You guys figure that out?
Yeah.
Please don't, right? things go better. But if you don't say everything. But the idea is let's enjoy what we had and really focus on the positive. So
encourage what you want, you know, don't point out all the things you don't want all the time. Right. You encourage what you want. Hey, I really appreciate you thinking of this date for us. That was great.
Yeah.
Even if you're like,
Yeah, let's not do that again. Enjoyed it. That's a one-timer.
Yeah.
Once and done.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It is.
You're trying.
Right.
So I just wrote down a few things that I just did a little bit of research. And some of these things Cody and I have done, but she was reading this list and she was like, can we do all of these? So I just wrote down a few things, just kind of like Northwest ideas. And so you guys can jot a few down that like ring a bell with you. But I wrote down like a list of museums and I found a couple on here I didn't even know. Like this is Northwest stuff. The Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. And some of the guys I can literally hear your eyes rolling back into your head. The Campbell House, the Bing Crosby House, the North Spokane Farm Museum is up north. There's an Inland Northwest Rail Museum out of Reardon, which somebody went to. Was that you guys? And she said it was awesome. You went by yourself?
Yeah.
I'm just teasing. So you took your preschool. Yeah. She said that was really great. There's a Spokane Valley Heritage Museum and the Bird Aviation Museum. So like we have, just throw that in there.
Got it.
Bird meaning it was Luke Colonel Bird. He was.
I was about to say we're looking at birds and aviation.
No, it wasn't it was an actual bird museum. It's an aviation museum by Colonel Bird. Anyway, so airplanes. But there's lots of stuff in the Northwest that are worth considering and looking at that just get you out that don't necessarily cost a lot of money. Some of these things are really, really inexpensive.
We have incredible hikes and waterfalls and things like that.
Yeah,
and
I have that list too.
There's something about what?
I have that list too.
I know. There are places we can drive, but being outside, that's also good for your health and good for your mood. And if you're feeling bogged down and you're feeling, you know, pressure and stress and anxiety or whatever it is, get outside. The vitamin D, the fresh air, the movement, all these things are going to help to enhance your personal being and therefore your togetherness as well.
Putting your attention on God's creation is a big deal. I don't think anybody's called to just be an inside person. And I've heard people say that, and I'm like, I understand what you mean. But everybody's called to be outside a little bit, right?
Yes. Yeah. You should be outside every day.
So, like, I put Riverside State Park. You guys probably already know about that. Bowl and Pitcher. There's hikes around there. Yeah, has anybody hiked the Iller Creek hike? Anybody been on that?
So beautiful.
It's a good hike. I mean, it depends on which side you come from, Stevens Creek or Iller. But that's a great view off the backside of the South Hill overlooking the Palouse. It gets you outside. We've done that multiple times. Mount Spokane has tons of stuff. Palouse Falls is about an hour and a half drive. And it's worth just driving out into the middle of nowhere. And this waterfall's cascading into this abyss. It's awesome. And then I just wrote, the last one I just wrote was North Idaho. I mean, take your pick, throw a dart.
Yeah.
You can hit all kinds of stuff in Northern Washington, North Idaho. The idea is just, find something to do intentionally where you're going to go somewhere, and it doesn't have to cost a lot, but it necessitates planning, effort, and intentionally saying we're going to add some fun into our marriage. And you cannot honestly say that your marriage is fun binge watching Netflix. That is not a thing. I mean, and I don't have a problem with like shows you like and different things, but there's got to be more than that if you're really going to have some spark and spice in your marriage.
Well, and you know, I think that there's people in the room too who their marriage are struggling. You know, you're wondering, how are we going to make it out of this lull that we're in? How are we going to make it out of the depths? You know, a lot of the things that we're talking about as part of that, where we're making priorities, we're setting out vision. But the other part is spending time together where we're not just trudging it out. You know, we're on a walk, we're outside, we're shoulder to shoulder. There's, you know, I like going on walks with people. I like going on walks with my husband because there's something that's disarming about, again, not being face-to-face. Face-to-face is good sometimes, but sometimes just being shoulder-to-shoulder is really good, and it gives opportunity for that reconnection that needs to happen. So just do the things.
Yeah. Yep.
The simple things can mean a lot.
Yeah. Play games, pursue hobbies, serve the Lord together. Do whatever it takes to find some connection and some fun in your marriage is a big deal, and I'm giving you permission to pursue that, because we've been in stages of our marriage, and we were similar. Our early marriage was not great or good. It was barely passable. It was rough. And, you know, we had committed to each other forever, but it looked really bleak for a couple of years because we were not connecting. And a lot of it was on us, and there's factors in there, but if we'd engaged more in the fun of where we lived and really gotten outside, I think it would have solved a lot of the things that we were dealing with and helped us talk some things out early on rather than just plopping on the couch. And that's really what we did for a couple of years. Is we went to church, we plopped on the couch, we watched football, we binge-watched stuff. It was stupid. And
don't be like us.
Don't do that.
You don't have to make your own mistakes.
And
come
marriages
on.
Have been doing that for like a decade or two, and they're like, I don't understand. Well, you're going to have to make some more effort. And the permission is you can have fun together and get out, enjoy each other. There's something in there that's still in your relationship that will be fun if you'll do stuff together. And some of y'all are really good at it, and some of y'all need to level up. So just give yourself permission to find out what that is and be a willing participant. If you're the one slow to step out to new stuff, be a willing participant.
Yeah, that's good.
So all this stuff leads to the fun part of marriage, and that's the intimacy part. And I'm telling you, sex is designed by God for marriage. I mean, we're in a marriage conference. It's designed by God in a marriage relationship to be enjoyed and have fun. And we've got to make sure that that does not become mundane and routine for us. It's got to be something that we look forward to, plan for, date nights, whatever that is. But there is an anticipation and excitement that comes when we're intentionally planning to date, to have fun together and have some time together, intimate time together. But if you don't talk about it and plan for it, it ends up slipping away. And then it's a week or two and you're like, what is going on? She doesn't love me anymore. All these things. And it's not okay to leave that part of our marriage off the table for non-discussion or non-planning or it's not the fun that it's intended to be. So, again, this is permission to have fun. I mean, marriage conference is kind of addressing multiple different things, but it seems like every marriage conference has to at least at some point address the intimacy and the sex issue. And it's not untouchable by the church. It's a God thing. He designed it. Like, it's not just for making babies. I mean, that is absolutely part of it, but the trying part is just as much fun. And so, like, we kind of got to lean into this and just understand this is God honoring. This is okay. And when life is full and there's lots going on, you do have to make a plan for it. And that doesn't mean that it's any less important. Yeah. It just means, like, there's times we got to schedule this stuff in, and there's fun with the spontaneity for sure. But that's a little tougher when you have little ones running all over the place, right? I mean, put locks on your door, for crying out loud.
Ones that cannot be picked.
Yes. I put a keyed lock on our bedroom door because those little rascals know how to use the pens and the screwdrivers to open the locks any other way.
Yes.
So, like, there's just a way to plan and encourage this. And so God does want us to have fun. It does honor him and please him when we plan to enjoy each other and experience each other and do these date things and leading to where we hope it leads on, like, every day, right, guys? Like, every day. Like, we spend some money, we go out.
Are you saying every day or every date?
Every day. Every day. Every day if you're in the house. Every day if you're in the house. But having that expectation, that idea is totally fine.
Well, and being able to talk to your spouse about sex and intimacy is super important. You know, I appreciate the fact that Corey and I have always been able to speak really openly, and we've gone through different things and different seasons of, difficulty, or, you know, I think a lot of times we talk about the different types of connection where the connection that women need for intimacy and the connection that men need for intimacy. And man, we have talked around this thing so many times. Keep talking about sex. You know, there are good Christian books about sex. There's
so much out there. So don't read the worldly ones. They have no clue what they're talking about.
No, don't do it. But, you know, understanding honestly, maybe I'm slow on the uptake, but more and more it's making sense to me how sex fulfills him in a way that him talking to me and connecting with me and seeing me fulfills me. And so I finally got that revelation, which is I want him to know me. I want him to talk to me. I want him to, you know, make me feel cherished and loved. And so that comes in a different way. But for him, he feels like he can conquer the world when we have that intimate time. And so it's the same thing that we're asking for. It's just in a different way. Mm-hmm. And there has been times where I'm like, well, I just don't feel like it because you're not connecting with my heart. Well, he needs me to connect with his heart too. And so really having these conversations and talking about it, don't be like, well, we've talked about this 10,000 times. Keep talking about the things. We're all learning. We're all coming out of our natural propensities, and that takes time. And so realizing the importance of it and to keep talking about it, keep learning about it. I mean, really, you should read a book on sex once a year. I mean, there's lots of them. There's plenty. You can do that. And we can make some recommendations for that too, which I don't know if we put that together. I don't think we did. But there's lots of stuff out there. So it's good. And, just because I think this is really important, I've been surprised when I talk to young women sometimes, and even older women, our culture has said so much that pornography and third parties, I mean, I call that a third party in your relationship, pornography. And I've been really surprised at how many women have been told in our culture and our society that it is normal, and really the men too. And so I just want to make it clear, listen, pornography has no place in your marriage. It has no place in your home, has no place on your phone. There are things you can do. And so women and men, y'all need to know that's not okay. It does not enhance anything. It does not spice things up. It perverts what God made as a very pure and very amazing and a really fun thing. So I feel like that needs to be said. I really want all of our women to know, because they're like, well, this is here and this is here. And I'm like, that's not okay. That's not okay. So it's not okay.
It's true.
And yeah. There's lots of things. If you're stuck in that, there's also help for that too.
Yep, for sure. So we just wanted to remind all of us to kind of lean into the fun of marriage again. Don't get caught in the trap of just all the stuff. The stuff will always be there. The things that we have to accomplish, that never ends until you're in the ground. But enjoying the journey and really making a space for it is something that only you can do and only you can plan for. And if you do, guys, that connection, that piece of being outside, doing something fun, doing a hobby, doing something together, making effort for that, guys, that connection with your spouse drives her very, very well into a place where she wants to reciprocate that need. And for guys, for the most part, it's not completely, but for the most part, again, guys connect on that physical level, that intimacy level, when women connect on the connection piece, the emotional piece. And it requires both. But if we're willing to try some things and get outside of the box and really put that scripture, like, be anxious for nothing. I'm going to lean into the Lord. I'm going to trust him and just enjoy the moment and enjoy the time and make space for that. You'll meet her needs in ways she's been asking for a long time. And you'll be amazed at how she'll reciprocate back to you and the needs that you need to have met. So it's encouraging. It's designed this way so that we do things outside of how we receive, and we lay down our own life to sacrifice for someone else. And in return, it's just like scripture. Yeah. When we lay down our life for the Lord, he's committed to our well-being and our success and what he's called us to do. Yeah. When we're serving him, he's committed to us. And it works in marriage the same way. If we'll commit to each other, and it reciprocates. It always does. So just be encouraged. You're not very far away from a marriage you love.
Right.
It just takes a few steps and a little bit of commitment and discipline. And man, I mean, stuff can turn so fast to a good, healthy, strong marriage because God's infused in doing it his way. So permission to have fun, granted. Anything else?
The last thing was just, you know, and again, invite people into your marriage as far as like connecting, you know, talk to people, be real with people. You don't have to hide the struggles that you're having. Find those safe friends that you can go, hey, we need to talk to you guys. I think sometimes we can get to where I'm just going to put on a smile. I'm going to just, you know, trudge this out. I can't let them know I'm protecting, you know, whatever. Find a trusted couple that you can talk to and you can share your the real stuff with, and then hopefully too, you can have fun with, you know?
Yep,
so
absolutely.
That's part of that is just making connections so that you can live in real and authentic relationship.
Amen.
Sorry.
Okay. No, it's great. No, sorry necessary.
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for just giving us marriage. We're so thankful. Thankful that you don't leave us isolated and alone, but you connect us with a spouse that, really completes us in a lot of ways. And Lord, we're thankful for the ability to have fun. We know that you are a God of fun and joy and excitement. Lord, we're so grateful that you can be right in the middle of what we're doing and we can really serve you and serve each other in joy and really enjoy this life and enjoy the journey. So we just ask, Lord, for just good ideas. I'm asking for heart changes in individuals here today, Lord, that you would just soften them and lead them in a way where they would be willing to try things that are new outside of their comfort zone to just enjoy each other. And I just thank you, Lord, for the fun that marriage is and can be and even increasing as we go closer and closer to you and go farther and farther down the road together. So I just thank you for your hand on us, that you're so good to us. You're so faithful to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your joy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.